Welcome to the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, a show that helps you learn how planners can generate significantly more wealth now. Nathan will answer your questions about business or personal finance, or how to increase current cash flows and generate retirement savings to make sure you're on the right path, and so much more. Whatever your financial goal, Nathan can get you there faster. And now, here's your host, Nathan Ross.
Welcome to this week's Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. And to any of you that are listening today that listen to our show on Sunday, you're thinking we skipped a couple days, or we jumped ahead a couple days, I should say. And no, it's not the case. We're starting today with the 11 a.m. slot here on KSEV. We're excited to have gotten that opportunity. And for me, it's kind of a homecoming of sorts. My very first time on the air, and I hate to date myself, but it's been a long time, was Friday. I believe it was 11 a.m. back then, but it was Mr. Ed Mattingly, Your Personal Lawyer show. It was his first show, and he invited me on the air. And so it kind of feels like we've gone full circle. And Ed, if you're listening today, thank you for that opportunity. Or maybe I shouldn't thank you, because it's kind of addicting. And been doing the other show we have on Sundays for quite a while now as well. To complete the disclaimer, you heard part of it at the top of the show as we were coming on. I want to go a little bit further and just indicate that just because you listen to the show today, or any other time for that matter, you listen to the archives on our website, you see us on a website or other venue, it does not make you a client, and whatever we're talking about, it may sound like the absolute best thing ever. But please don't try to go execute the strategies or the investment opportunities that we may mention without talking to your existing advisors, be it financial, legal, tax, etc. And let's let you discuss that with somebody that knows more about you. They know your unique facts and circumstances to make sure that, one, what you thought you heard is correct, and that it applies to your facts and circumstances. And if you don't have any such advisors, well, then certainly I'm happy to discuss your facts and circumstances with you. But first, I would ask you to go to our website at baplanner.com. That's baplanner.com. And top right, complete our forms that give us enough information about you that we can speak intelligently, hopefully. And then right next to that link, there's a schedule a call link. You're welcome to go schedule an intro or introductory call, and be happy to take a look at what you're interested in accomplishing to see if we can sync up with your goals and objectives. Okay, with all that said, let me just explain what we do. I need to do this more often. I guess, unfortunately, in the interest of time, I assume that if you're tuning in, you've probably heard us before. And I'll say this, Sundays at 7 a.m., I believe you pretty much have to be looking for me when you get up that early on a Sunday to listen in, or however you're hearing us. I guess some people go to our archives and play the recording. But on Friday, I'm assuming a lot of people may already be in their cars to go to lunch, maybe a little bit early for that. But, you know, since we've slipped into a slot that another financial advisor vacated, they may not realize that, hey, this is a different one. We're a or I'm a CPA, and I will have other CPAs join me from time to time. Any of you that listen to us on Sunday have heard Mr. Dan DuBose. He was not able to make it today. And then I've got an attorney buddy that will also join us from time to time to discuss entities and how we, a legal strategy we have for accessing funds that are in a 401k account, even though you don't want to quit your job, you're not over 59 and a half. There's a great way that we can access those funds, and you can self-direct them into other investments. And of course, what we opine about is real estate, private partnership syndications, and I'm an investor in some of those creatures, and I also consult with many clients on specific offerings to help them understand what they're signing up for. And in a nutshell, we want you to understand, hey, this is what all these pages and these complex legal documents are trying to say, and we just want you to be aware. If it doesn't fit, syndications are like trains. There'll be another one coming into the station very soon, so move on and wait for the next train. And the syndications are in a state of flux. They have been ever since I first looked at syndicated investments or partnerships 20 plus years ago. And just because you've invested with a syndicator 8 times, or it's all been offered through the same platform, the same investor platform, mentor platform, we've got several in Houston, and then there's a lot more around the country. Just because you think you know a syndication, trust me, a syndication is not a syndication. They're all different. And if you don't know or understand how to dissect the documents and understand some of the terminology, understand the math metrics that are used, one wrong turn can cost you as much as you're investing in a transaction. And I don't mean that you'll necessarily lose money. I just mean that you won't make as much because there's other people with a interest in the activity that are being paid and compensated. And if you don't understand fee structures and the timing on how sponsors or syndicators, lead partners, whichever term you like ascribing to that role, if you don't understand how they operate and what they're telling you, even if they're burying it, which that happens a lot these days, into the many, many pages of these agreements, well, then you're eventually going to stub your toe, and you'll hopefully hearken back to this discussion and recall that, hey, there's somebody out there that offers to help you understand what you're signing up for. One of the things we like to do each week, we've got a companion website that is the baplannershow.com, and we've got a section there under resources that's called, I'm sorry, it's just at the top, it's labeled current news, and I've got more than a few articles out there for this week, this episode, and I wanted to discuss just a few of them. And one thing, the first one on that list, I don't know how many of my oligarch clients, being a little facetious, will be affected, but it looks like the IRS, or the U.S., I guess, of course the IRS will be involved, is finally set to unveil the rules involving real estate money laundering. They've done some tests on these rules, I think started probably 3 or 4 years ago now. I don't recall exactly, but I think Miami and New York City were the test markets, where basically they're going to require various of the parties involved in the transaction, when you have a buyer purchase a piece of real estate, that's going to help everybody involved behind the scenes that's trying to figure out who's laundering money in this country. It's going to give them more information about who is behind, for instance, the entity that's acquiring the assets, what we would refer to as the beneficial owner. Who is the beneficial owner of XYZ LLC? Because that's how U.S. Treasury is tracking the financial crimes. I guess it's called FinCEN, that keeps up with who's doing what, when, where, and I guess try to avoid allowing sanctioned individuals and people that are evading, paying the U.S. government taxes, etc. So that's finally going to see the light of day, and I guess for all of my clients, of course, this is old news, or news that doesn't apply, I hope. By the way, if any of my clients are doing that, you feel free to let me know, okay? I'd love to nip that in the bud. Let's see. Let's do another article or so before we take a break. IRS announced this past week they're delaying a change for the 401k catch-up contributions. You may or may not be aware there was a recent issuance, or maybe it was part of the IRA, the Inflation Reduction Act. I can't remember when it actually was codified, but it was getting ready to take effect, where the catch-up contributions for those of us that are over the age 50, when we make our contributions to a 401, we can put in a little more. I forget the exact number. I think it's roughly 65, maybe it's 7,000 for the current year, 6,500 or 7,000. And essentially, it was being, due to the change in the law, it was going to go into your account as a Roth, in the Roth portion of the 401k, which, they act like this is some benefit to delaying for a couple of years. I would tell you, and as we've discussed many times on this show, if you don't think tax rates are going up, and going up significantly over the next 5, 6, 7 years, you need to talk to me. Let's talk specifics at some point. We can go through budgetary categories and show you just how little of the discretionary budget still remains, and how that at the rate we're borrowing money, that we won't even be able to pay all the interest on the debt. I believe it's around 2029, 2030, depends on the assumption set that you employ to understand just how fast the tax train is barreling down the track. So you want to get over to Roth, period. When you talk about the 401ks in general, and I don't want to get into the politics, I'm just going to tell you, as a CPA, and I may be the only CPA in the world that believes Roths and RIAs, or 401s rather, I'm sorry, and IRAs are not a great deal for the taxpayer, generally speaking. For you to get a little deduction today to then agree that you're going to carry the IRS as a partner for the rest of your life, every time you take a distribution out of that, at whatever the tax rate is, you don't even know how much of a partner they are currently down the road. And I tell you what, let's take a little break. That's a topic that is worth dwelling on for a few minutes. But let's go ahead and take our first break. And I'll be back here momentarily with more of the Be A Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. People always coming up to me and asking, what's your secret? With all you do, you're
attitude just seems to be so good. How do you keep it? Well, I'm not the Dalai Lama, but I'll try to offer up a few words of advice. You better get to living, giving. Don't forget to throw in a little forgiving and love along the way. You better get to knowing, showing a little bit more concern about where you're going. There's a word unto the wise. You better get to living.
BeAPlanner.com wants to ask you, when's the last time your tax pro called with a way to save you taxes? Seriously, do you want to work with a planner or a reporter? A planner knows which tax code sections are the best wealth accumulation tools. Less tax, more profit. Learn more at BeAPlanner.com. The Be A Planner Show with Nathan Ross.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195. 713-581-0195. Or you can send an email to Nathan at npross.com. Nathan at npross.com.
Have you recently joined a real estate mentor program? BeAPlanner.com shows how real estate investments combined with proactive tax planning can generate significant wealth. However, syndication terms for private real estate partnerships are complicated. They help you assess the benefits of ownership from A acquisition to E exit. A planner wants to know what they are signing up for. BeAPlanner.com with CPA Nathan Ross. BeAPlanner.com.
Like the song. I'm just longing to be free. Take me away, I wanna be. Big dreams and fake dreams. And there are many just like me
with big dreams and fake dreams.
Okay, welcome back to more of the Be A Planner Show with Nathan Ross. And as we were leaving to take that first break, I was talking about tax rates, tax brackets, what's coming down the road here. And it's not a matter of politics. I don't care which party is in control. They both spend money like it's free. Like we're printing it for some reason. I'm not sure why that would be, right? In any event, if you don't want to believe me, and I've been hearing tax rates are going to go up, they have to go up, et cetera, for years, but and they haven't. In fact, taxes right now for anybody under the age of maybe, I don't know, 55, 56, 57, somewhere in there, they are the lowest they've been in your lifetime. So I know we all fret and whine, et cetera, about paying taxes, but the reality is the tax brackets are on sale right now. And depending on who you believe in terms of projecting the need for increases, they're going to have to go up almost double to do anything at all to assuage the deficit that we're up against. And, you know, again, if you don't want to believe me, just maybe take a look at what the CBO, that would be the Congressional Budget Office for you political wonks. And as you know, they are the, well, they're supposed to be the umpire that calls the balls and strikes on new legislation. You know, what's it going to cost? What's it going to do to the deficit? Will it be offset by new PAYFERs? That's pay-fors, what that'll be paying for it, et cetera. And CBO, back in 2009, sent a letter to Congress. It was in answer to their request for a study to tell them how much rates would have to go up to deal with and solve the budget crisis. And the letter started off, "Dear Mr. Ryan." Paul Ryan was still the Speaker of the House. And, of course, just like all the other Republicans and all the other Democrats, was equally responsible. Well, except for maybe Ron Paul. I think Ron Paul may have still been in Congress then. My former congressman from District 22 over in Pasadena. And, of course, his son is another voice of reason, the Senator Rand Paul. But in any event, CBO at that time said that, you know, there were three tax brackets. That was before Trump, of course, so we didn't have the myriad of, what do we have now, six or seven brackets, I think. I don't have it in front of me. But we had three brackets. We had 10%, I believe 25 and 35 at that point, or 37. And CBO said that the 10% bracket would need to go up to 25%. That's a 150% increase. And likewise, the 25% bracket would need to go to 63, and the 35 or 37, whatever it was, 39, I think, actually, would need to go to 88%. It doesn't count states, state tax. And now, you know, from 150, now the estimate is closer to 200% is what would need to be done or raised if we're going to solve it. And that, you know, I think, you know, solving it, I think that gets you pretty close. I'm not sure it does entirely. But bottom line is we've got to do something, because if we can't pay the interest on the debt, what do you think is going to happen next time we print out some new T-bills, treasury bonds that we want to sell, when investors aren't sure they're going to get paid? Maybe they won't be in the group that you know, gets paid. I mean, it's not like we won't be able to pay any interest, but we won't be able to cover it all. And that's going to cause some folks that might be buyers today are going to say, well, I think I'll pass if there's no assurance. And so it's important. And you talk about a depression. You know, if we miss the continuing resolution that, you know, the drumbeat starting now in Congress, you know, we've got 30 days before we run out of money in the current year budget. And of course, when you factor in the holidays that they're going to be taken and assorted other non-work days, they're already down to the point where they would be hard pressed to carve out a budget that everybody could agree to. And of course, this is more the same. It's what we were told would not happen under the new House leadership. And, of course, they've all got good reasons for why it's going to happen. But you've also got some Republicans that are digging in, apparently, and indicating that, no, they're not going to vote for a continuing resolution. They want to get a budget done. So I don't know, you know, what will happen when push comes to shove. But bottom line is, I think they're going to do a continuing resolution to fund, most likely, at least through the end of November, maybe end of December. But in any event, so what do we do about this massive tax train that's rolling down the tracks? 2029 or 2030 is when it's going to pull into the station. Well, if you've got pre-tax money in any type of retirement account, especially 401s, you want to convert those funds from pre-tax to Roth. In other words, you want to say, look, I can control this to a certain extent. I'm going to go ahead and pay the tax. It's going to be due later. Only guess what? You're likely I mean, nobody can say they've got a crystal ball, but I can just tell you, if there's a way to pay less tax in the future, I don't know what it's going to be other than a Roth conversion. I mean, you may sidestep taxes entirely when you get to retirement, because between the Roth not being taxable and distributions out of a Roth not being taxable, qualified distributions, and the standard deduction, you can make, depends on if you're married, filing joint, single, et cetera, somewhere, married, filing joint, I believe this year is in the $27,000 range. You can make that much money before you get into the lowest strata of taxation. And, of course, there's also the little issue of how much tax will you pay on your Social Security. And that is also an issue as you go up over those provisional tax bracket levels. But bottom line is the Roth distributions do not get considered in the provisional brackets, nor does other things, like if you've got certain cash value life insurance that's been structured properly, you can take distributions out of those policies, or loans out of those policies, I should say. Again, it's got to be structured correctly. And so there are ways to get to retirement and have massive amounts of cash flow without paying tax. And in fact, in some cases, it doesn't even get reported, cash value life insurance. And versus you having pre-tax money and you get to that time frame and all of a sudden you've got RMDs, required minimum distributions, to deal with. And for those of you that have, you know, $2 or $3 million in your retirement accounts by then, that's a pretty hefty annual tab if you've got to pay tax on it. And that I'm just talking about the rates that are on sale today. It turns into a lot of money. Forget about 200% increase. I mean, that's insanity at that point. So, you know, again, I'm not a big fan of ongoing participation in these accounts unless you're doing it in Roth and you control it, because we can invest those funds from your self-directed 401 into real estate private partnership syndications where we won't pay any tax, literally, until you take money out of the self-directed 401. You may know it as a solo K. That's a marketing term. That term doesn't show up in the Internal Revenue Code, as does a trust created pursuant to Section 401, which is why we call it that. And so it's got a huge benefit over the IRA, which many of you may say, well, gee, I've got my IRA invested in these real estate syndications. And the only problem with that is you're subject to the UBIT tax or the UDFI component of the UBIT tax, which I know is alphabet soup for most of you. But let's just cut to the chase and say your IRA is going to pay tax if you're successful with that investment. So we much prefer the 401 if you qualify. You got to have some self-employment income, be it your main job or business. Actually, it would be a business to qualify as self-employment. Either you're a realtor, you're a consultant, CPA or accountant, lawyer, et cetera, or maybe you drive Uber part-time. Lots of things can qualify. There's so many side gigs that can allow you the marvelous avenue of the self-directed 401 trust, where then you're able to roll that money over at no tax or penalty, and then invest it. You control the investment into the real estate private partnerships, which you hear about on other shows here on the air, including this station, from some of the old school, what I call old school, travel agent type platforms. You know, when's the last time you bought your airline ticket from a travel agency? And I'm going to tell you, none of us do that anymore, except maybe if your company makes you. And there's no reason to. There, you can locate, you can research, you know, et cetera, et cetera, opportunities in the syndication world that are out there. And I know, I'm going to hear from the platforms that, hey, well, you know, we provide a safer way to invest. Well, you know what? That may be, but it's at a cost. None of these platforms are free. They're $25,000 to $30,000 to join them. And then they have, while their fees tend to be lower on some of them they're actually higher than you might do on your own. And I'm talking about the syndication fee for each deal you invest in. But even the low, the platforms with lower fees, they still have dilution of your capital. And by that I mean that when you join and say, okay, I'm ready to invest, you settle on a transaction, which that'll be on a wing and a prayer, because you're not going to know enough, at least initially, to understand what you're signing up for. But there'll be somebody there that'll be saying, oh, you know, it's okay. This is one of our former or prior syndicators. They're all good. They're the ones you hear on the radio shows. You don't hear about the other 200 to 300 with that organization that has not hit any doubles or triples. You hope they've hit some singles. But the bottom line is you're giving away anywhere from 25 to 30% or more of your capital to participate in any one transaction. And I understand that if it's a first-time lead partner, you won't pay that level, but I would tell you to avoid first-time lead partners in spite of what you may hear otherwise. I just would suggest you go with, you saddle up with the horse that's been to the finish line, knows where it's at, right? That's how we want to invest. In any event, to put a bow around the Roth conversion, the other thing I want to hold out to you is the beauty of doing the conversion after you get your funds rolled over to the 401, the self-directed 401, because at that point, with your monies invested in private companies, you get significant private company valuation discounts when you estimate the fair market, you calculate the fair market value. That's fair market value. Market's the key word, where it's not how much you put in, but rather it's the amount net of the private company discount. So as opposed to your funds sitting at Charles Schwab, where you can look at the ticker at the end of the day and see exactly how much your account's worth, private company investments like these private partnerships have no liquidity. You cannot sell them or trade them like you can your Apple stock. You have to wait until the partnership decides it's going to sell, or the sponsor, or maybe you get a vote. That happens in some cases. You don't have majority control voting-wise, if you have any vote at all. And then assorted other, you know, you're counting on a small team of managers to execute. It's not like, again, your Apple stock with layers upon layer of professional management. There's 20 or 25 risk factors that will be identified in every private placement memorandum you look at before you invest. And I would just tell you that that is the smartest way to convert to Roth. You've got a significant downside safety net. Even if you're wrong on picking the wrong deal, you've got a ways to go before you will be negative when you compare, or when you consider, the amount of discount we get for doing a conversion to Roth. In any event, well, I spent a little bit longer on that than I wanted, but I will tell you, in light of what's coming, this is probably one of the most critical things we talk about. We talk about it a lot. I'll make no apologies for that. And I'll also tell you that I don't know that I hear anybody else on the air that explains it. And I understand the way I do it is akin to a drive-by, for example. But hey, if you want to learn more and you want to get it in bits and pieces, fill out our forms and schedule a call. Be happy to explain it to you. In fact, I'll be happy to show you an illustration of what your money can potentially turn into if you avoid giving it to the IRS right up front, which, by the way, you'll be told that's a economically savvy decision when you join some of these platforms. And I'm just telling you, that's insanity. It's absolute insanity to hand the IRS, I don't know, $90,000 to $100,000 on a $300,000 cash out of your 401 or 350. I've run the math. You can see it at the baplanner.com website down at the bottom of the homepage. And again, it's a lot of information there, but happy to explain that to you. And I'll actually run a custom version of that for your facts and circumstances if you will submit your forms. In any event, let's go ahead and take our last break, and we'll be back here momentarily with more of the Be a Planner show with Nathan Ross, CPA.
And you are a teacher. You are a reacher, so reach down. Reach out and lead me. Guide me and keep me in the shelter of your care each day.
Did you know 76% of Americans are concerned they won't have a secure retirement? BeAPlanner.com shows how private real estate partnerships can increase current cash flow and retirement savings. There are three options to control your 401 and IRAs, but only one will double your retirement lifestyle. BeAPlanner.com for the Be A Planner show with CPA Nathan Ross.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195, 713-581-0195, or you can send an email to Nathan at npross.com, Nathan at npross.com.
Have you recently joined a real estate mentor program? BeAPlanner.com shows how real estate investments combined with proactive tax planning can generate significant wealth. However, syndication terms for private real estate partnerships are complicated. They help you assess the benefits of ownership from A acquisition to E exit. A planner wants to know what they are signing up for. BeAPlanner.com with CPA Nathan Ross. BeAPlanner.com.
Is it easy? No, it ain't. Can I fix it? No, I can't. Well, I sure ain't gonna take it lying down. Will I make it? Maybe so. Will I give up? Oh, no. I'll be fighting till I'm 6 feet underground. I'm gonna woman up and take it like a man. I'm gonna buckle up, be tough enough to take control.
Okay, welcome back to the final segment of this week's Be a Planner show with Nathan Ross, CPA. And I wanted to just follow up on the topic of fees that I mentioned just before the break on the real estate private partnership syndications. I'm going to encourage those of you that are interested in investing in apartments, which I think is absolutely the best asset space to put your money into these days. But what I am more and more concerned about is the issue I raised earlier about your capital being diluted. And, you know, I look at transactions day in and day out to help my clients understand, again, what they're signing up for. And I'm going to tell you, it's sickening to see the plethora of fees that are being taken out of the larger, you know, the 300, 400 unit type partnership transaction where, you know, they're buying a 300 or 400 unit apartment. And the syndicator, the sponsor, the lead partner, is charging, you know, a 2% acquisition fee, a 1% or more debt placement fee. That's for them getting the debt lined up. And they, fortunately, you're not asked to be on in a guarantee or guarantor role on the debt. That's a big deal. I mean, I understand it's a valuable service that they're providing. And they're also charging another 1% or so for, you know, the equity raise or capital raise fee. That's them putting the syndication together to allow you to invest your money with them. And then, you know, assorted other fees, a construction management fee anywhere from 5 to 10% of the capital expenditure on renovations, and then a refinance fee if they refinance the property 2 or 3 years into it after, you know, they've done the renovations and now it's time to pull some money out for all the partners. They're going to get a chunk of that. Now, I'm not talking about the chunk they're going to get for their override. I'm talking about fees. These are over and above. And then lastly, you've got typically a disposition fee at the end. And again, it's over and above the anywhere from 20 to 30, 35, etc. percent that you hand them on day one. You know, think about that. Even on a $50 million transaction, you know, that 30% fee is the equivalent of you handing them effectively $15 million. I mean, it's not money they can go spend, but it gives them the rights to a $15 million slug of the cream that's coming in off that investment. So if, well, I don't need to do an example on that. I think you get it. It's a lot of money that they're getting just for being alive and having put the transaction together. And back in the day, that's basically all they would get, or the bulk of the profit. There was none of this other fee business. Whereas today, they're walking out of closing when they buy it with, you know, a couple million bucks already on its way to their account. And I just think that's egregious. And you're not, as the investor, you're not getting anything walking out of closing. You're going to wait around for the crumbs. Somewhere down the line, if there's any excess, i.e. a gain, you're going to get your share. And, you know, that's just, in this day and time, when you look at what's going on with interest rates and you look at how many transactions are failing, you wouldn't get anything if you were in one of those. And yet they're getting their money, the syndicator, on the front end. So with that said, I'm going to suggest to you, you take a look at some other options, notably maybe buying your own building, small apartments like the one I own in San Antonio, an 8-unit property. And I would tell you small apartments anywhere from 8 units to 50 units gives you the ability to, you know, it's a lower acquisition cost. You likely can get some owner financing, seller financing, creative financing for sure. The latest craze is buying properties, even multifamily, on a subject to basis, which I don't have time to get into today, but we'll circle back on that concept where you're not going to get a new loan. Effectively, you're making payments on an existing loan. And when you look at how many small apartments there are, and I think this would be defined as anything from maybe 5 or 6 units up to 100 units, The National Apartment Association, I believe the number they use is somewhere between 450 to 500,000 properties out there. Most of them are owned by folks that have not kept the deferred maintenance up. Therefore, they haven't been able to keep their rents up at a market rate compared to their competition in the area, their comps. And the folks that own them at this point are somewhat elderly, which, hey, we're all getting old. I can attest to that. But bottom line is their biggest fear is how they're going to handle the taxes when they sell it, because most of them will have fully depreciated that property. And so there's a lot of opportunity out there for those of us that understand the metrics of the value add type acquisition, which is where we're buying older properties that have a lot of upside, because we do know how to go in and renovate and add amenities to make that property truly a comparable to others in the market. And if it's in the right location and it's got, you know, several other metrics in terms of the demographics, I mean, you're in maybe one of the top 20 or 30 metro markets in the U.S., that can be a winner. And by the way, when it comes to dilution of your capital, nowhere near the 30 to, in some cases, 50% we've seen. Oh, yeah, I forgot, by the way, that the last round of the gain that gets allocated or gets shared, in many of these agreements, these operating agreements, and this is why you have to read everything in the cracks, all pages, typically if the lead partner has hit a certain level of return over the course of the deal, I've seen anywhere from 12% up to 16. Hadn't seen 16 in a while, but seen a lot of 12 to 14% thresholds. They get as much as 50 or 60% of the final round when the gain gets allocated from the sale. It's insane. And so in any event, with a small apartment, yeah, there's trade-offs. You know, you're going to have to deal with the debt, which, again, there's creative ways of doing that often. And, you know, you're going to have to engage most likely a property manager. Okay, well, many of the larger transactions, that's what they do. And so you've got similar risk on that front. And I'll just suggest to you that in many cases, it's a better option. And by the way, I didn't mention the tax treatment involved. The tax treatment, if it's structured correctly, and again, this is something we do, happy to work with you on it, is structure it in such a fashion where you're getting the write-offs, including the portion related to the debt on day one, as opposed to sometime down the road, because you're limited on the passive type of loss. So we're looking at utilizing losses as a materially participating owner. And we'll go into that in more detail. That involves achieving the real estate professional designation. But when you factor in those benefits, I'll tell you right now, there's no capital dilution. In fact, it's, as I said, it's better than the big deal. Now, you know, you may have fears of, you know, toilets, tenants, taxes, etc. Again, when you've got competent people on your team that can all be dealt with, and you stay in a good market, great locations, you may pay more for that. But at the end of the day, when things get dicey, like the current market, you'll be thankful that's what you did. I've only got a few minutes left here, a couple minutes. I wanted to just mention a deal. Let's see here. This project it's unusual in that it is a project that's come through one of the local investor platforms. And it's a transaction in New York City, I believe, which is interesting because we don't see too many up there. And as with several other transactions that have come through lately, this is fits the criteria of the small apartment. It's in that 8 to 50 class, and this syndicator owns other properties in that area. He's reduced his override to 5%. This has a lot of metrics that look good. You know, $199,000 a door. Got an agency debt as opposed to a three-year bridge loan, which has been so common, and it's the source of many of the problems in the debt market now. By the way, $1.5 trillion coming due to be refinanced over the next year in the multifamily space. It's going to be a bloodbath. Mark it down. And there's some syndicators, name brand syndicators, award winners, that are letting properties go back to the lender. And it's something we haven't seen in quite a while. But in any event, this particular project has reasonable assumption sets. The cap rate is somewhat reasonable. It's a 6.5% rate here at the acquisition. It's 5.5% later on going out, which that may or may not be rational. Folks, I think we're going to get used to 8%, 7 to 8% historic ranges of interest rates for real estate and other things. We've all gotten spoiled with these 3% or even sub 3% interest rates on mortgages. It's only because there was so much money sloshing around in the system that could happen. And I don't think we're going to see that for quite some time, if ever. And so you've got to underwrite based on assuming higher interest rates, therefore higher cap rates, because they are kind of linked, even though it's not a direct linkage. If a buyer has to go get a loan at X interest rate, you can pretty much be assured that they're underwriting at a similar level of cap rate. And as far as cash-on-cash returns go on transactions like this, this one is almost a 7% rate. That's comparable right now to the T-bill rate, but this would have some upside, theoretically. With this debt level, with this debt structure, there's no variable rate adjustment. There is a rent cap in that part of the country. But anyway, well, I hear the music. We're coming to the end once again. Enjoyed the new show. I hope you like the new time. And if you're interested in this topic or this type of tax pro forma, which we really didn't talk about a whole lot today, join us Sunday. We'll talk more tax math on the Sunday show, perhaps. And we look forward to having you tune in. Thanks for tuning in today.
Thanks for listening, and join us again next week for another edition of Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. Ooh.